verses. And I've got three lessons here from our Lord that He gave these Pharisees and lawyers here this day. Three lessons He gave them. And I was looking at all the different things, reading at all the different things, didn't find anything that helped much. So I hope that I've come up with something that will be a blessing to you. But there's three lessons that our Lord gave here to these chief Pharisees. And it came to pass as He went unto the house of one of the chief Pharisees. And down there in verse 3, He said, it spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees. Here's a bunch of pretty high people, influential people, powerful people. But let me tell you something about our blessed Lord that you already know, but it's true, and it's a comfort to all of us. Grace and truth came by our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Him. How could anyone who is like our Lord Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, how could He possibly have any enemies? Why would anyone hate Him or reject Him or not believe Him and find fault with Him? But they do. Because He came full of grace and truth. And oh, let me give you several reasons why. Let me give you one over here in 1 John 3. Now you keep that Luke 14. But look here. I'll give you a reason here in 1 John 3. Here's one reason why. 1 John 3 and verse 11, it says this. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now watch this. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And it was because what our Lord did was righteous. He was righteous. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. And men, evil men, wicked men, His very life exposed their hatred for God. Very life did. And some not only hated Him because of their works were evil and His were righteous, but some hated Him for the truth that He held and the truth that He told them. You know, there was a bunch one day He was talking to and He says, you know, if you was Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. And they said, well, we're not born of fornication. Said, Abraham is our father. And He said, if Abraham were your father, you'd believe me. You'd come to me. But He said, I know who you are. You're of your father, the devil. That's what He said to him. You are of your father, the devil. Now that caused, you know, when the truth hits you. And our Lord looks you square in the eye and tells the truth. You're going to do one or two things. You're going to say, yes, you're exactly right. That's what I am. Or else, you're going to hate Him for telling you the truth. And that's why He started out that whole discourse by saying, know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If a man wants to be free, Christ is the one to free. Ain't that right? But they didn't want to be free. And some for the grace He manifested. Not only the truth that He told them, but for the grace He manifested. Look over here in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And our Lord was full of grace, truth, and it came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in Mark 15 and verse 9. Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now watch this. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. They hated him for the grace that was manifested in him. They was envious of it. Envious of the truth. Envious of that grace. And oh, beloved, in all our Lord's dealings, we see grace and we see truth at the same time. They always go hand in hand. Wherever the grace of God's at, truth is there. Wherever truth is at, and pure and unadulterated, the grace of God will be there. And especially in our Lord Jesus' life manifested. First thing he done is he gave them a lesson on the Sabbath. Now let's go through these first five verses quickly. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. Now this chief Pharisee, I don't know what town it was in, don't know who it was. In some village somewhere, and the man who was the chief, he was always, you know, he'd take strangers into his home, feed them. And our Lord was there that day, and he no doubt had a crowd, so he invited our Lord in to eat bread with him on the Sabbath day. Now, this meal that was cooked this day was actually cooked on Friday. They ain't allowed to cook on the Sabbath day. They can't cook from 6 o'clock Friday evening until 6 o'clock Saturday evening. So whatever they're going to eat on that Saturday afternoon, their big meal, has to be fixed on Friday. They ain't even allowed to kindle a fire. They can't go out and pick up a stick of wood and put it on the fire. That's against the law. So this is a big deal. And not only that, but he had a lot of other people there too. Now, chief Pharisee, and then, now watch this as I want you to see this. On that Sabbath day, that they watched him. That they watched him. What in the world would that... What does it mean they watched him? That means they was waiting, watching, looking to see if they could catch him, do anything, say anything, act in any way that they might be able to accuse him. Oh, they've done that so many times. Look back here in Luke chapter 6, and I'll show you. How many times did they lay in wait for him? Did they lay in wait for him? I know that there's preachers, and I know that there's church members that I've met over the years, that they, whenever they hear a preacher preach, they're just sitting waiting to catch something out of his mouth that they can say, now see, he's not sound on the gospel. He missed something there. He didn't say something right here. So they stand around waiting to watch him to catch him. I was talking to a dear preacher friend today, and he said, I've never in my life asked for a message from somebody so that I could listen to it and sit in judgment on it. But I know men that cry and ask for a message just so that they can sit in judgment on it. So they can see what's wrong with them. And that's the way they're doing with our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not watching him because he's good looking. They're not watching him because he's strong. They're not watching him because he's popular. They're watching him to find something wrong with him. And that's why our Lord said in one place, if you want to take the mold out of somebody's eye, you get the beam out of your own first. And that's the way these fellas were. Now look what it says here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. Now watch this. That they might find an accusation against him. An accusation against him. Look over here in Luke 20:20. I could show you so many places where they've done him this way. But look in Luke 20:20. You know, our Lord endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He came to save sinners. He came to open sinners' hearts. He came to do for sinners what only he could do. And yet he endured this contradiction of sinners. Sinners so, by their life, by their actions, these men so were against the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says here in verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Now watch it. And they watched him. And sent forth spies. And that's bad enough. Which should feign themselves just men. Go over there and act like you're holy men, good men, faithful men, just men, righteous. And it says they had to feign to be that way. They got to pretend. They got to put on. Because he knew they wasn't just men. They got to feign themselves to be just men. And watch this. That they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. So you see, that's why they're watching him. That's why they're watching him. We watch him to see his grace, to see his mercy, to see his power. We look unto him for our salvation, for our righteousness, for our hope. We look unto Him for everything we need. He's our all in all. But they looked at Him and they watched Him to see everything that's wrong with Him. And then look what it says next. And behold, there was a certain man before Him which had the dropsy. A certain man. Now this dropsy, I've tried to my best to find out what this is. And what it is, it's a person who has an abnormal accumulation of fluid, of water. And they can swell up and their arms drop with water in them and their legs, you know, full of water. And they sag down. And so they have all this water in them. And it's a disease that will kill you and it affects all your organs in your body. And this had never been cured before. And here this man with the dropsy was before Him. Now they're in this Pharisee's house. And evidently this man there, I don't know what he was doing there. He may have been a friend of the Pharisee. He may have been a relative. They may have just brought him in to see what the Lord Jesus Christ would do with him on the Sabbath day. I don't know. But he's there, this sick man is. And the rabbis taught that a man with this disease evidently committed a very grievous sin to have such an awful disease. Had such an awful disease. But listen, it says here he was before Him. Let me tell you something. Everybody in that house was before Him. There wasn't a soul in that house that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't know. Didn't know the thoughts. And in fact, you and I sitting here tonight, we're before Him. We're before Him. We're always before Him, whether we're conscious of it or not. That's why it says, walk ye before the Lord and be ye perfect. We're always before the Lord. And you know who it is that's before the Lord, really? It's people like this man. Got something wrong with him. He got to heal him. But our Lord Jesus Christ, look what He says now. In verse 3, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers. Now, we don't see a question asked. He answered, it said we have two answers here, and it says we don't see a question that these men asked. But Jesus answering spake unto them. Now, either they asked a question, and don't tell us that they asked the question, but I personally think that our Lord Jesus Christ knows what was in their minds. The questions was in their minds. The question was in their heart. Is He going to heal this man today? This is the Sabbath day. Is He going to do this work today? And you see, I'll tell you something about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts are just like words to Him. What goes through our mind is just like us speaking them. He sees it all, knows it all. That's why, as you know, God said in the judgment, He'll judge the secrets of what? Men's hearts. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know the secrets of your heart. But that's what God's going to judge men by. The secrets of their hearts. And beloved, I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ done bore my judgment. And I've done laid my heart, and I know you have, just laid it bare before God. Search it, know it, try me. If there's any wicked way in me, save me from it. I don't want no secrets in my heart. I want God, I want them exposed. I want God to know them, don't you? And oh, beloved, He asked them, He says, is it lawful? And He asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, if anybody would know what the law said, these men would know. These men would know. And like you know, I thought of this today. Here's these Pharisees and lawyers. It says the chief Pharisee. Now, being a Pharisee is really an accomplishment. But to be a chief Pharisee, that's really, really an accomplishment. And that's where they was, at the chief Pharisee's house. And our Lord said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Well, you know, they'd done been through this before. Look back here in chapter 13, verse 14. They'd done been through this before. Maybe not with this man. This was in some other city, some other town, some other village. You remember when our Lord healed the woman that had been bowled over by the devil for 18 years? And our Lord healed her. She is made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And not on the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath. So that's why I think they got this man with the dropsy there. I think he was put there just to try our Lord Jesus Christ. What He would do on the Sabbath day. Well, he says, is it lawful? Watch what happens. They held their peace. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? He'd already done expose the thoughts of their hearts, the intents of their hearts. They held their peace. One time, for instance, these guys really had some sense. They kept their mouth shut. And then he took that man with the dropsy. Is it lawful to heal? Well, I'm going to do it. Since you didn't say anything, I'm going to do it. And heal him and let him go. Do you see how easy it was for our Lord Jesus? Don't say he laid his hands on him. But it says he took him and healed him and let him go. Just like that was the easiest thing in the world to do. Just heal him and let him go. Just in a bypass way. Just like it's nothing. Like it was the easiest thing in the world for the Lord to do. And it was the easiest thing in the Lord. If he can raise the dead to heal a man of excess fluid, that's no problem. If he can give sight to the blind, it ain't no problem for him to make a fluid come off a man's body. Make his body go back into shape just in a moment. I mean, he didn't walk around and start just passing a bunch of fluid. No. Our Lord fixed him right then. Right then. He was a normal person when our Lord got through with him. And then look what it says again. And he answered them saying, and they began to think again, oh, he's done it. He's done it again. He's broken the Sabbath. There's 6 days men ought to work. What's he doing this? And he answered them again. Which of you? Now all of you fellows here, you know the law. You keep the law. You trust in the law. You think that you're going to go to glory by the law. He said, which of you? If you got an ass or an ox, and they get out and they fall into the ditch, they fall into a pit, and you can't get, you know what you're going to do when somebody comes to you? You're going to go immediately, and get it out. Get somebody to help you, you're going to get it out. You know why? First of all, the tender mercies. You know, you got to regard your beast. A man regards his beast. And secondly, it's because these things are valuable to them. They're their animals. They're their property that makes them wealthy. And they don't want to lose that money. So they go and get them out quick. Huh? And oh my, watch what it says here in verse 6. And they could not answer him again to these things. Again, you know, Christ is the very wisdom of God. If a man thinks he knows something, oh my, the Scriptures and our Lord Jesus Christ in His wisdom, He just confounded these men again and again and again. And our Lord Jesus, when He speaks, He'll be justified and every mouth will be stopped. So we see here in these first six verses, we see grace to heal the sick, truth about the Sabbath day. You know, the thing about the Sabbath is God made Sabbath for the man. It's made for man. And man turned around and made a burden out of it, a curse out of it. And it's a blessing. It's a day for us to rest, to enjoy ourselves, to relax. Not to make such a law out of it that we can't enjoy it. It's made for us. Not to be our hindrance, but for us to be our rest. Now let me show you this. So there's the lesson on the law. Lesson on the Sabbath. And then he's going to give a lesson here to the guest at this feast here. At this man's house. The guest at this man's house. And it says in verse 7, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked out how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them. Now he spoke a parable because he marked out, he saw how that they chose out the chief rooms. And that rooms means seats, places to sit, rooms to sit in, a room to where you sit down, room for you to see. And so he marked out. He was watching them. He was marking them. He saw what was going on. How many times do we say, mark my words? Or mark that one. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing. He is marking them. Marked what they were doing. Watching what they... And he says here, he saw how that they sought out the chief seats. They wanted to be in the front. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be in a position of honor. They wanted to be recognized. To them, being close to the person in power and preeminence, to them it was a power and preeminence by association. And oh, our our Lord marked them out. And I tell you something, beloved, in our common actions of life, everything we do every day, His eye's on us. He marks what we do, marks it, knows our thoughts before we think. Our words to Him, our thoughts to Him is just like words. And what we do, He marks them. And let me tell you something, bless His name, He does this to us, which are believers. When we're wrong, He makes us to know it. He makes us to know it. He lets us know when we're wrong. Lets us know. And then He says, watch what to do. These chiefs seek out these chief rooms, chief seats. He says, when you're bid nor invited of any man to a wedding, don't sit down in the highest room. Don't go to the highest seat. Don't go try to get close to the people in position of power and wealth and honor. Because if you do, what about a more honorable man than you be invited of him? Huh? And all, beloved, and this is the difference in a Pharisee and a believer. A Pharisee thinks people ought to give him place. Pharisee thinks, proud people think folks ought to know who they are and give them a place. Let them have the highest place. But a believer, he thinks everybody's more honorable than them. And let them have that place. Let them sit there. Let them work. They got more grace than I do. They've got more glorious personal traits than I do. They're more generous. They're kind. They're more patient. They're tender. They say the right thing. So let them. They're more honorable than me. And oh my, that's the way the believer is. You take that. You do that. They esteem others better than themselves. And oh, watch what happens now. More honorable man. Oh my, how many more honorable people are they than us? Oh my. How many people you know that's more honorable than you? A bunch of them. I can name off a dozen off the top of my head just in preachers. I don't count men and women I know. Oh boy. Well, look what he says now. He that bid thee come, he that invited you come and say to thee, give this man. See this man here? Give him your place. Give him your place. Oh. This place wasn't written. It's not. You got no business sitting here. And watch this. And you begin with shame. Embarrassed. You got to go to the lowest. All the other seats been taken. You got to go down to the lowest they are. Got to go down to the bottom. Huh? Let me show you something over here in Galatians 6. Galatians 6. You know, I can't help but think of when Brother Scott always says, you know, make your headquarters in the dust. If you make it there, you won't have no problem with this. Look what it says here in Galatians 6 and verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he ain't deceiving nobody in this world but himself. When he thinks himself to be something, that's the seat I'm going to get. I want this right. Man, I'm somebody. Well, if you are, you're nothing. And ain't nobody deceived but yourself. That's what he says, what our Lord's saying. If a man thinks he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought. And so that's what he says, you know, you give place. You give place. And you have to take with shame the lowest room. And then, oh, here's what he says for us to do. When you are invited, you go sit down in the lowest room. Go sit down. Don't put yourself forward. Don't let folks know who you. You know, go and walk. Don't walk in and say, "You folks know who I am." Huh? No. Go sit down in the lowest room. Take the lowest place to begin with. Then you won't be embarrassed. Won't be ashamed to have to be told, "You can't have that seat. It's not for you." Huh? So that when he that bade thee cometh. And he sees you sitting there. And he says, friend, He didn't run in there and say, I'm this man's friend. I'm his best friend. I'm the best friend he's ever had. Let me up there. That's not the way. He took the lowest place and he says, friend, he sees you down there. Go up higher. You go on up there. You get up there with the rest of those people up there. I want you to go up there. Now watch this. Then thou shalt have worship. Worship. This is talking also about in the congregation. Thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Worship. Oh my, when you take the lowest, and that's what we do. When God begins to deal with us, we take that lowest place. And then the Lord, friend, come up higher. And we worship together. And we eat around our Lord's table. And this is, he's teaching us this thing. Here's the lesson. For whosoever exalteth himself, takes that highest seat, loves that uppermost seat in the synagogue. He that exalteth himself, what did our Lord say here? He's going to be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, look over here in Proverbs 25. You know, James says this while you turn to Proverbs 25. He says that God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. Let me tell you some people that was proud and how they were abased. You remember Nabal? Abigail's husband? David sent down there to get some food sent to him. He said, who is David? This is my food. This is mine. And he, proud. He wasn't going to give him nothing. Absolutely give him nothing. He's proud. Man, this is all mine. I ain't going to give him nothing. David got his sword and said, I'm going to go down there. And that boy ain't going to live till the sun goes down. His wife Abigail met him. And the next scripture says he turned to stone. His heart turned to stone. He exalted himself. God abased him. There's Nebuchadnezzar. He exalted himself. Look at my mighty Babylon. God put him out eating grass for 7 years. Huh? What about Jezebel? Oh, she thought she was something. She even had Elijah scared of her. You know what happened to her? They threw her out of a window. And when the dog got through with her, it wasn't nothing but the palms of her hands and the soles of her feet. She is proud, but she is abased. What about Korah? Why, we're prophets too. We're as holy as you are. Set himself up to be somebody. God opened up the earth and sent him to hell without his old barn and set packing a suitcase. What about Herod? He's sitting there on his throne giving his great oration. Didn't give God the glory. Exalted himself up there. Had men killed because they let Simon Peter out of jail. And God smote him with worms in his gut. And he died in agonizing. Exalt yourself. Go, he says. When I get through with you, you'll be way down here. But if you start down here, the way up in the kingdom of God... it's down. It's down. And oh, look here in Proverbs 25 and verse 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. And the margin says, set not out thy glory. Don't put yourself forth in the presence of the king. Stand not in the place of great men. Huh? And look what our Lord said here. Let me show you this quickly in Matthew 23. But those evidently, those Pharisees and lawyers, they didn't believe that. They didn't even believe the Bible, much less the law. But look here what our Lord says in Matthew 23 in verse 6. These Pharisees, he says, you know the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Not only like them and want them, but love them. Love them. But look what our Lord says down there in verse 11. But that he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We're not going to do like the Pharisee. That one that's the greatest, that's going to be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And all, beloved, so that's the lesson to the guest. When you're a guest, and that's what we are, anywhere we're invited, we're guests. We don't sit down until somebody says, I want you to sit here, I want you to sit there, would you sit here? And that's what we do when the table's set. Where do you want me to sit? We don't automatically just go to the head of the table. We don't do that. And now here's a lesson for the host. Here's a lesson to the host here in verse 12. And I'll hurry on this. Then said he also to him that bade him, this chief Pharisee. He's talking to this chief Pharisee now. In verse 12, then he also him that invited him. Now, I'm going to tell you a lesson, something you need to learn. I just talked to your guest. Taught them a lesson here. Don't you try to be something that you're not. Don't you pretend to be something you're not. Don't try to set yourself, don't set your glory out. Stay low. Stay low. Don't make yourself to be something you're not. And when you make a dinner or a supper, don't call your friends or your brethren, neither your kinsmen nor your rich neighbors. Lest they all have to turn around and say, well, he invited me for dinner, I'm going to have to invite him. Well, he had these people at the dinner, so I'm going to have to get some big shots to come to my dinner. And so it's just this never-ending cycle. Got to go, well, they invited me, so I got to go. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be hospitable, have people, because you want to have them. You don't owe it to them. And look what he says here. Lest they bid thee again, and they have to end up paying you back. Paying you back. You know, you invite some rich fellow to your house, and boy, well, that rich fellow's got to invite you to his house. That's what our Lord is saying. Now, our Lord, and these were important people in these guests here. They were important people. But our Lord isn't condemning social life. That's not what he's condemning at all. But it's natural for people, birds of a feather, to flock together. The wealthy run around with the wealthy. The intellectuals run around with the intellectuals. Dummies run around with dummies. So that's why you see three or four together all the time everywhere they go. Ain't that right, Bruce? Oh, boy, I'm sorry for that. But I couldn't resist it. I just couldn't. They're just right there. But these are wise words. Our Lord uses His wisdom here, and this is His grace. This is such grace. And grace and truth. Oh, you take the Lord's place. Such grace. Do that. That's what grace does. And truth tells you to do that, and truth condemns those who exalt themselves. And then He used this glorious truth here. Don't do something that you just got to be paid back again. Cause this vicious cycle. But when you make a feast, and this is what our Lord did, and when you make a feast, you call the poor. You call people that can't do a thing in the world for you. They can't do nothing. They can't pay you back. Call the maimed. Call the lame. Call the blind. And you'll be blessed. You'll be hospitable. You'll be gracious. You'll be kind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. They can't do a thing in the world for you. You see, that's what we want. We want to be around people who do something for me. What am I going to get out of it? But our Lord said, do things for people that can't do a thing in the world for you. And then you'll be blessed, for they can't repay you. They can't. What can they do for you? And you'll be recompensed. In other words, our Lord said, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back at the resurrection of the just. And oh, what a repayment that'll be. And you know, there's a lot I don't understand about a lot of things. But I do know that what we do for one another and do for anybody else, we ought to do it because we want to do it, we love to do it, and we don't feel like we owe any. If anybody puts you in debt, that's not an uncomfortable place to be in. That's an uncomfortable place to be. Our Father, our gracious God in heaven, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful mercy given us in Christ. Thank you for this truth and this grace so manifested. God, give us the grace to always humble ourselves, to take the lowest place, never set forth our own glory, never rush up and act like we're somebody, something. Help us, dear Lord, never to put ourselves forward. Wait till someone puts us forward. Teach us these blessed truths. Give us the grace in our heart to practice them, to live them to your glory and your honor. God bless these dear saints and bless Brother Floyd. God restore his health. See him well, and please give the doctors wisdom to find out what's wrong. Strengthen Sister Eleanor. We know she's tired and weak. And we pray for others among us who are afflicted and tried. We pray for Annie down there with her mother who just had the surgery today. Please be merciful and gracious to them. Uphold them. And our dear Savior, as Brother Clay comes to preach the Lord today, God bless him. Use him, please, here among us. Bless his message. Bless his heart. Bless his mind. Quicken them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And, O Lord, give the dear saints here hearts to hear, ears to believe, and hearts to receive. We thank you for these things in our Lord Jesus Christ's name and ask them. Amen. Amen. Jesus.